People, it's good to be with you this morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs and chapter 30. Our young people are going to sing to another class while we're in here together for just a few moments. I'm Brother Eldon Martins. I've had the joy to serve the Lord in the work of the ministry along with my wife for 41 years, and we're just so delighted and honored. We have an opportunity to travel now with the young people here from West Coast Baptist College, and I trust as we have a few moments this morning, there might be something from God's Word we can encourage you with. Stand with you, would. Proverbs 30, we'll read just a few verses, starting at verse 24. Verse 24 says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The answer of people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they set forth all them by bands. The spider taketh hold in her hands and is in the king's palace." Four of God's creation are mentioned here in this brief passage we've read. And I think we could just learn a simple little lesson from each one as we have a few moments together this morning. So good to see you. We're so honored and delighted to be here. Pastor Rogers, thank you for inviting us, allowing us to come. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll have a few moments to look into His Word. Father, we thank You this morning for each one that's here. And as we've come together at the Sunday School Hour, we thank You for the music that has preceded. We thank You for the testimony of Your goodness, Your grace, that Your love never fails, that You are an all-sufficient, all-caring God. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word, Your precious Word that You preserved for us. We thank You for the Bible that we hold in our hands. Help us never to grow weary of reading and studying Your Word. And may these few moments as we gather together around Your Word be beneficial. May every one of our hearts be open and receptive to whatever You have for us. Now strengthen us by Your Word. Fill me, Holy Spirit of God, and strengthen my voice as I speak for a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are many valuable lessons to learn from all of God's creation. We were just at the Niagara Falls yesterday afternoon. We came from Ontario up at a place called Barrie, and we had a wonderful time there at Niagara Falls, seeing some of God's handiwork. Isn't God awesome? His handiwork certainly demonstrates His greatness and His faithfulness. And in all that God does, not only is it a testimony of God's great power, His omnipotence, but it also is a testimony of some great truth that He wants to teach us. And here in the passage of Scripture we've read this morning, there are some things that I think we could learn. I remember years ago as a young lad growing up in church, I would often go and see a film in our church. They called them films, movies in those days. And the Moody Bible Science films. Have you ever seen them? Some of you folks seen this before? I was fascinated as a young man growing up to have the opportunity to see those Moody Science Bible films. And we would watch, and there would be some testimony of God's handiwork, God's creation, what He had done, and now the lesson we could learn from it. There's so many of God's creations. The big creatures, the small creatures, for example, the bumblebee. The bumblebee is an unusual thing. The bumblebee, the honeybee, is an unusual creature that God has made. The average worker bee is able to carry a burden that is equal to its own weight. That's an amazing thing. I don't know if you can carry your own weight. Some of you might be able to. Some of you men look like you could be able to do that. Some of you ladies as well. But nonetheless, all of us here know that there are burdens that we have to carry sometimes. But you know, the burdens that we carry in life are burdens that God can lift for us. Aren't you glad that the Bible says we can cast all of our cares upon Him, for He careth for you? And then the Bible testifies when Paul was going through that great difficult time and he had that thorn in the flesh, the Lord said, "My grace is what? Sufficient for thee." And so God's grace can enable us to carry whatever burden He allows us to have in our lives. He can help us go through that situation. So also, the honeybee flies as far as 3 miles in search of the raw materials to make honey. It is estimated that 1 pound of honey equals over 300,000 miles in bee flight. Think about that. just 1 pound of honey is equal to over 300,000 miles in bee flight. That takes a lot of work, a lot of commitment. And there's a testimony for us. We need to be busy about the Father's business. We need to engage ourselves in serving the Lord, being faithful. Be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank God for the testimony that we can serve the true, the living God. And then also I just might mention that as many as 50,000 honeybees live in one hive. Now that's a lot of bees in one hive, yet they get along. They get along together, they cooperate together, they serve one another. And when it gets hot in the summer, the bees in that beehive flap their wings as fast as they can to keep the place cool, kind of an air conditioning concept. And then in the winter, when it gets cold, they huddle up together for warmth. So bees cooperate together. That is a testimony of unity together, that God's people ought to be unified together, serving, ministering to each other. But let's take a look at the passage before us, and let's talk very quickly about these four creatures God has made. First of all, the ant. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, "The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." The ant is not strong. Matter of fact, I have personally sent out into eternity scores of ants. I have had great delight, great joy. Matter of fact, I had a dream. I had a dream a few nights ago, just came to mind, that there was an anthill right where we were living, and the ants were just pouring out of this anthill, coming, invading our house. I panicked. I ran and I got the ant poison, and man, I just dumped that stuff all over, and ants were dropping on right hand and my left hand. I thought, wow, this is cool. This is great. Haven't you... You put away a few ants, haven't you? Yeah. They're not strong. They're not very strong. But they prepare well. They prepare their meat in the summer. Preparation. That's the testimony of an ant. Ant works hard. They prepare their meat in summer. They work hard. They look to the future. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." There's wisdom. You young fellows down here at the front, you need to learn how to work. Work hard. You know, that's a great ethic. It's a great ethic. It's a Bible ethic. We ought to work hard. The Bible talks about, in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatsoever thy ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." We ought to be willing to work, especially in serving the Lord. We ought to invest our lives and serve the Lord. If you serve the Lord in any capacity, you ought to prepare. You ought to work hard. You ought to invest your life to do the very best you can for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of it, amen? He's worthy of all of our efforts, and we ought to do the best we can to serve the Lord. And you young people ought to learn at a young age to work hard, to be diligent, to clean up your room, put your clothes away, take care of business, do your homework, amen? Do your homework. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, do your homework. Do all your homework. Learn to prepare. Every young person that's here this morning, every one of you young people, when you graduate from high school, I would challenge you to pray about and consider going to at least 1 year of a good, sound, independent, fundamental Baptist Bible college. It'll help you. It'll help you prepare for the rest of your life. It's one thing to learn how to make a living, but it's more importantly to learn how to live. And at Bible college, it's a great place to get a good, strong foundation that'll help you all the days of your life. It's a great place for many things, but we'll not take time to talk about that. I heard the story of a man who went to the doctor for a physical exam. And now the doctor, after he had examined the man, he said, "Now, doctor, tell me in plain language what the real trouble is with my health." He said, "Well, do you want to have it straight?" The man said, "Yeah, tell it to me straight." "Well, there isn't anything wrong with you except you're just plain lazy." And you know, then he said, "Well, doc, give me the medical term so I can tell my wife." You know, we sometimes, our problem is we're lazy. We tend to be lazy people sometimes. Any lazy folks out there? Yeah, we all can be lazy. And there's a time to rest, a time to relax, but we ought to be diligent when we work. And we ought to work hard and prepared. We ought to do those things that truly will enable us to be people that will serve the Lord effectively. The Apostle Paul accomplished much in his life. And the reason he accomplished so much, because he would diligently serve the Lord. He worked, he prepared, and he just gave himself to faithfully serve God in the place that God gave him to minister. He was a great missionary, church planter, statesman, evangelist. He accomplished much. And those that accomplish much in life learn how to prepare. They learn how to work hard. You know how to build a good bus route? Three things you need to do. Dr. Jim Vineyard used to always say this. Three things you need to do. You need to work. That's what it takes. It just takes good old-fashioned work. If you and I, if we're going to accomplish anything in life, no matter what occupation, vocation, being a housewife, being a breadwinner in your home, being in the ministry, serving the Lord in any capacity, we need to work and we need to prepare ahead of time. The second creature that we have in the scripture here is the coney. Notice in verse 26. The coneys are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. These creatures are weak and feeble, and they make their home in the rocks. Now, a coney is simply kind of a small animal found in Palestine. It's in the rabbit family. It has long back legs and short ears, yet its hearing is very acute. They hear anything. And when they hear something, they don't stand up and try to defend themselves. They don't try to do what they cannot do because they are weak, they are feeble. They run to the rocks. Because in the rock, they find safety. They find protection. That is their shelter. What a testimony that is for us. Because these creatures of God are so weak and feeble, they do the wise thing. They flee to the rock. Folks, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he what? He fall. And you and I think we're strong sometime. But listen, our strength is only in the Lord. Amen. We can do all things through whom? Christ would strengthen us. We need to learn to flee to the rock of our salvation, the Lord alone. Listen, there are many examples in the Bible of those that tried to do it in their own strength. I think of Saul, a man who had great talent. He had great stature, great ability. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel 9:2, he was a choice young man and a goodly. And those that were, there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was tall, dark, and handsome. He had it all together. And did he succeed? No. He failed because he tried to do it in his own strength. He disobeyed God, and he tried to do it in his own strength. And so you and I need to be aware of the fact that we need to flee to the Lord. He is the rock of our salvation. The Bible says in Psalms 94:22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Remember that song? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. We need the Lord, don't we? Don't try to live the Christian life in your own strength. You can't. You cannot live the Christian life in your strength. You must allow the living Christ to empower you, to equip you, to enable you to do what you do in the Christian life. We need to find our strength in Him. The Lord is my rock and the strength of my salvation. Many have fallen because they've tried to do it in their own strength. There's another creature that God has made, verse 27. The locust, the grasshopper. Here, look at it here. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Here's a testimony of creatures that work together in unity. They have no king, no visible king, no visible leader, but they move in uniformity together as one band, one army. One or two locusts can accomplish little, but you get a whole herd of them, a whole flock of them, a whole swarm of locusts, and they could devour a whole field in no time at all. My mother was raised in Kansas, and she would tell me of the days when out of the prairies where she was born and raised, that they would have times when the locusts, the grasshoppers, would come in a huge swarm. The sky would literally turn black and dark, and they would come in and they would hit the field, and in a matter of a short time, that field was devoured. It was gone. Because these creatures that God has made, they have learned to work together. They accomplish much in the job that they're doing. Matter of fact, the Word of God says in Joel 2, verse 25, they are called God's great army. God used them on many occasions. As they go forth in bands, there is a unanimity. You know, we do not have a visible king. Your pastor is a leader in this local church. He is the established leader to lead this flock. But we have no visible king. Our king is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But even though we do not have a visible king, we do have the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us to guide us. We have the Word of God to guide us. And we have God's under-shepherd, the under-shepherd here, to lead us as well. We have those that will give us direction. And we need to learn to work in unity together as these locusts work together. It's one band. There's no room for pettiness and division and strife and conflict. If you want to criticize somebody, then just shut up.
Right.
Don't talk to anybody. You talk to God. And then you go to the person that you have ought against, and you deal with them and talk to them and ask them to talk with you, and you pray with them. You get it right. But don't go around criticizing the preacher or the deacon or the youth pastor or some other member or friend of this church. Listen, you ought to be a people of unity. When there's unity, there's great power in that kind of a ministry. When there's division, it is only separate. It'll cause decay. It'll cause defeat. But these locusts, they work together in bands, in unity. Because of that, they are accomplished great things. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. In unity. There's a sweet thing about getting along. We're traveling to these six young people that you saw up here this morning singing, playing the piano. They get along. I can't believe it. These six young adults, we've been with them now in a couple weeks, and I haven't heard a foul word said yet. They seem to get along and love each other and help each other, encourage each other. I like that. They're easy to work with that way. We raised five children. I guess you raise goats, but you have children. But anyway, we did have kids. Five of them. And it was our task and our goal in our home never to have a cross word said, never to have arguments or disagreements. We would not tolerate it. We wanted our children to learn to speak kindly and graciously to their parents and to each other. And you ought to do that in your home. Teach your children not to criticize. And you know, the best way to do it, don't criticize yourself. When you leave here Sunday morning, don't have anything critical to say. You ought to say, praise the Lord, what a wonderful service. That guy from West Coast Baptist College, he was not very good looking. He wasn't a good teacher, but bless God, he's God's man. Say what good you can, but always say good things. Amen. Always be positive. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's be people that will speak graciously and kindly one to another. Be ye there tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's be forgiving and let's be for unity. So the locust is a tremendous testimony. We have one more and we're finished. You're doing great. Look at the spider. The spider is mentioned down there in verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palace. What can we learn from a spider? Well, a spider just never quits. A spider never gives up. They're very indigenous people, and they're very industrious in what they do. They weave their web, whether it be in the poor man's cottage or the king's palace. They weave that web. And have you ever watched a spider very meticulously, very carefully weave their web? I remember I was pastoring down in Southern California in Escondido. Ever heard of Escondido? Just north of San Diego. I started a church there, pastored there 14 years, Fundamental Baptist Church. I remember one night I was sitting in my office late at night, and I had the door open. It was a nice, beautiful evening, as they are often there in California, in that part of the country. And I had the door open, and in the corner of the doorway, I noticed a spider spinning a web. And I watched with great interest. For some time, that spider would go back and forth weaving that web, and every strand was right in place. And after about 15, 20 minutes, I was just intrigued with that. I'd never really taken the time to watch a spider weave a web. And then I went over, I took my pencil, and I hit the web, and the spider, of course, took off, and I broke the web. I went and sat down and I waited. It wasn't long, the spider returned and picked up where I had done the damage, repaired the web, continued working on the web. I went over again. I hit the web. The spider ran. The web was damaged. I waited, and all of a sudden the spider came back, started working. I did that for quite a while. That was a frustrated spider. But I learned a lesson, tenacity. The spider didn't quit, didn't cave in, didn't give up. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A lot of Christians kind of cave in along the way. They get discouraged, defeated, tired, worn out. Listen, you can get weary of the work of the Lord. Don't get weary of the work of the Lord. These bodies sometimes get tired, yes, but just be faithful. The Bible says it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Let's be faithful. Let's just stay with the stuff. Be faithful to doing what God has called us to do. And so there's so many lessons that are found here. The Bible says in the book of Galatians 6:9, I think I quoted that verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let me give this one verse to you, and then we'll be finished. The Bible says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience the race that is set before us. Looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured. He continued. He did not quit. He did not cave in. He did not give up. He saw through the task that he had been given, and he fulfilled the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. He did it all because he did not give up. The Bible declares, likewise, we are to run the race with patience. The word patience means endurance, steadfastness, staying with it. We're in a marathon. Notice, running the race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon that we are running in the Christian life. We need to just keep on plugging and plugging and plugging away for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we think about the ant who prepares well, works hard, the coney that knows where to go for strength, the locust who displays unity, team effort, and then the spider who never quits and never gives up. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for these few moments we've had together. May we leave here with something that'll help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Pastor. Good. Amen.